Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me to your holy hill. Let's read together the Word of God, which is our light and truth. We'll first read 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17, and then Psalm 1. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. The man of God and the word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 10. Paul writing to Timothy, "But you, Timothy, have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." And then Psalm 1. Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." And we want to look especially at verses 2 and 3 this afternoon. "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Brothers and sisters, in our Lord Jesus Christ, we continue to look at the subject of growing a word culture in our lives. But the word we heard this morning from Psalm 119 is hidden in our hearts. Like a woman took leaven and hid it in a batch of dough so that that leaven, that word, can permeate the whole of our lives. Transform us through and through into the image of Christ. That's why we hide the word in our lives. The word is a culture, a leaven that grows. That's its power. A culture of Christ crucified and risen from the dead. That's what it is. We looked at the power of the word of God to be this culture this morning. And this afternoon, we want to look at the blessing of living in such a culture. The blessing is like being a tree planted by water. You live close to the Word. You're a tree whose leaf is green and bearing fruit. If you're living a long ways away from the Word of God, you're a tree whose leaf is withering. You're dying on the vine. And which are you? Are you withering? Are you wilting because you're living a long ways away from the Word of God? Or are you flourishing despite the weaknesses in your lives? Despite the circumstances, the harsh circumstances, are you flourishing because you're living close to the water of Christ? And the Word of God is dwelling in you richly. Blessed is the man. And that's what Psalm 1 is really all about. Blessed is the man, the woman, who lives close to the Word. We want to look at those blessings this afternoon. First, the blessing of those who delight in the Word, who are devoted to it, and then their particular rewards. Blessed are those who delight. That word blessed means happy, full, satisfied, overflowing. Your life is overflowing when you delight not in the world, but in the Word. And that psalm again begins with that contrast. Blessed is the man who does not walk, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, who renounces sinful and shameful ways. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. There's that contrast. Have you chosen the Word as your delight? I know you can't make that choice apart from God's grace. Have you prayed for that grace to choose the way of the Word, to see the delightfulness of the Word, and to renounce the sinful and shameful ways of this world? Notice what it is to be in love with this world. It starts with walking. You walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You're just passing by and you notice it and you say, that's interesting. Let me check that out again. Next thing you know, you're standing in the path of sinners. I think I'm going to hang out here for a while. This is pretty good. Next thing you know, you're sitting. You're planted there. You're stuck in the seat of the scornful. That's what it is to walk in the way of sin. You don't just stay in one spot. We read that in 2 Timothy 3. Imposters go from worse to worse, deceived and being deceived. Evil has a way of taking you and drawing you in, wrapping its tentacles around you tighter and tighter. And what felt good at first, like a hug from sin, now becomes a death grip. It's destruction to delight in sin. Sin hates you. Sin hates you and wants to destroy you. That's its nature. Blessed is the one, happy, full, satisfied, is the one who delights in the law of the Lord, who takes pleasure. That's what it is to delight. Takes pleasure in the law of the Lord. Where's your delight? Where's your love? Do you see that the law of the Lord and the Lord of the law is full? He has everything you need. And that when you come to Him and meet Him in the Word, you're being embraced by a Savior who takes you, sin and all, and loves you not to death, but to life, full restoration, forgiving all your sins through his Son on the cross, filling you with his Spirit to walk in his good ways, and strengthening you and leading you to persevere all the way to glory till he fulfills all his purpose for you, as we sang in Psalm 138. That's why the believer delights in the law of God. Because that law is delightful. The Lord, the God of that law, is delightful. He's a Savior. He's good. He's righteous. He's perfect. He's blessed. Again, where's your delight? There are those who put the Word on the sidelines of their life and put the world in the center, and the world is holding them captive. They're getting lost in it. Good things, bad things, getting lost in the world. And the Christ is getting forgotten. But we're being called here to delight in the Word, to have that as first place in our hearts and in our life, and keep the world on the sidelines. Because when the Word is in your heart, you know how to handle the world. God is calling for us in the world. But as Paul says in Colossians 3, as you live in this world, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Because without your heart set on him and on his Word, you lose your way. Where's your delight? Do you love to hold communion with your God by opening his Word and asking him to talk to you there and to give you understanding? Delight in the Word. You might say, how can I read the Word and meditate on it if I don't delight in it? And that is a problem, right? How can I read it and meditate on it faithfully if I don't delight in it? And so often I read it and it just doesn't stir me. But really, brothers and sisters, it goes the other way. How can you delight in it if you don't take time to read it? It's like having a relationship with a wonderful person. Initially, you don't appreciate all his or her beauties. But the more you get to know him, the more you spend time with him or her, the more wonderful that person becomes. The more time we spend with God and his Word, the more delightful his Word becomes. It's never an easy Word to read. It's difficult. Some passages are just plain. You can bang your head on them and not get them. That's how difficult they can be. But the better you know it, the more delightful it becomes. It's like that relationship which grows as you know the person better. One person writes this: the Bible is endlessly interesting because it is God's story. And God by nature is himself endlessly interesting and delightful. He is. The Bible is an ever-flowing fountain. The more you read it, the more you find its truth and beauty to be inexhaustible. Genesis, the more beautiful it becomes. But same with Exodus. And Leviticus used to be a book I cut my teeth on and I didn't enjoy it at all. But when you begin to see that the Lord is setting apart a people for himself, then suddenly these ceremonial laws become alive with Christ, who set apart a people for himself by his holiness. And on through the Bible, the prophets. How can Isaiah, as you get to know the prophecies of Isaiah more and more, delight you in your God? We're studying through Job as a men's group in our church right now, and that's another book that, it seems like long-winded speeches. And in fact, they are. Job says they are. You long-winded guys, will you shut up? Right? That's what they're like. But the more you read the conversations, the dialogue between the system of the legalists and the gospel, the good news that Job has come to know, and read that dialogue, it is a beautiful, it is delightful. But it takes time to see that delight and let it grow. And you've got to give it space and time to grow. And you've got to go through the hard times of reading through those passages that, well, to put it plainly, you just don't like very much. But it'll become delightful to you because the Lord is in it. He will make himself delightful to you. Trust him. And you will delight in his word more and more. How blessed is the man who delights in the law of God. The word of God, says the psalmist, is sweeter than honey and more to be desired than much fine gold, Psalm 19. So will you do this? If you're having troubles delighting in the word, recognize this is a gift of God that comes through the word, from the word itself, and pray for that gift. Lord, I'm going to be reading my Bible again this morning, and I kind of dread it. I dread being bored or not interested or just confused. Speak to me this morning. Speak to me tonight. Speak to me this noon. Show yourself to me. Help me to delight in you, because the delights of this world live close to me, and I fear they're taking over. Just a delight in vehicles, Lord. It's consuming me. A delight in power, in making more money, in food, is just consuming me. Human heroes, it can be anything. Lord, I want to crave the pure spiritual milk of the Word. You must give that to me. Please give me that delight. J.C. Ryle wrote, "By reading the Bible, we may learn what to believe, what to be, and what to do, how to live with comfort, and how to die in peace. Happy, blessed is that man who possesses a Bible. Happier still is he who reads it, and happiest of all is he who not only reads it, but obeys it and makes it the rule of his faith and practice." Delight. Secondly, devotion. "And in his law he meditates day and night." It's speaking about a devotion, a daily devotion to the Word of God. If the Word's only a matter of routine in your life, a chore that you go through to stay on God's good side, that's deadly legalism. Sometimes that's what devotions become. If I don't read it, I'll get in trouble with God. You don't want to be in trouble with God, so I better read it. That's not the kind of devotion we're speaking about here. This is a devotion of delight. But there must be a routine to it. Because without routine, being in the Word becomes a matter of hit and miss, with more misses than hits, if you leave yourself to spontaneity. At least that's how spontaneity works with me. Not very well. And so God wants us to structure our lives around his Word. Meditate on it day and night. Now that's figurative language for all the time, but it's also each day, each night. To be in the Word. He's not saying exactly what times, but each day and each night to meditate on the Word so that you're a flourishing tree and your life doesn't wilt. Anybody can wilt. The strongest Christian can wilt, can wither if you're neglecting daily meditation on the Word of God. Do you not want to flourish? Do you not want to prosper? Meditates on it day and night. Matthew Henry writes, let God's voice be the first voice you hear in the morning. Meditate on it. Again, Matthew Henry, this is how he defines meditation. It's to talk to yourself about the great things contained in the Word of God with a close attention of mind and focus of thought till you're suitably affected with those things and experience the savor and power of them in your heart. Fill yourself with it, with the thought, with the teaching, until the savor, the aroma goes through you and its power lives in you. Now, back in those days, they didn't have Bibles in their homes. The only place there was a Bible was in a synagogue or in the temple. The scrolls were in very few places. There were very few copies. So here's how they meditated. They went to church on Saturday, temple three times a year, but to local synagogue on Saturday, where the word was read and explained. They internalized what they heard, and they took it home, and they chewed on it every day of the week. They sucked on it like hard candy throughout the week, slowly letting it get into their system. And that's all God is calling us to do. Take the word that you learn in the church of God. Don't leave it there. Take it home with you. We get to have Bibles. Open it and work with that word all week long. Meditate on it. Tuck it away in your mind and heart. Memorize parts of it. Think about it. Pray over it. Confess your sins in the light of it. Find comfort in it. Rejoice in it. Make personal commitments in your life to apply that. That's what it is to meditate. We don't want to be like those who are hearers of the word but not doers. They look in a mirror. Oh yeah, that's what I see. Then they walk away from it and it's gone. Sunday Christians. You hear the word, great sermon, you go home and you leave it behind. You do nothing with it. Because now it's back to work and making money and doing the things I really like. You don't want to live that way. Meditating day and night is a way of taking the word and making it, weaving it into the fabric of your daily life, or hiding it like leaven in the midst of your life to walk and talk with God at all times. That's what meditation is. It's a very important way of life. Now, you can read four chapters a day and get through the Bible in a year. You can read through two chapters a day and get through the Bible in 2 years. You can read through a devotional that takes you through the Bible and you read a section and then a reflection on it. Make sure you have a devotional that leads you into the Word and not takes you out of it. Many devotionals just sort of make slight contact with the Bible and then go off into something else. Make sure that it ties you to it. But to meditate on the Word of God so that the Word has central, constant, regular place in your daily life. That's vital for healthy Christian living. Notice what it says there in Psalm 1, verse 3. He shall be like a tree. It doesn't say he shall be like a tree planted by water, does it? But by the rivers or channels or streams of water. This is not a stagnant pond. This is a fresh flowing stream with new waters constantly washing over your soul and over your life with good news every day. Washing over your life with comfort. There's forgiveness of your sins in Christ. Meditate on that. There's encouragement, more than enough strength to handle today's troubles in the fear of the Lord. There's comfort, there's encouragement, there's safety, protection in your God who watches over you by day and by night. There's purpose, there's promise in today's work because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There's perspective. In this suffering, God is working out
His purposes for your glory, His glory and your good. There's perspective in the Word of God. There's instruction to know God better and see His glory. There's rebuke to show me my sin and my need for a Savior. There's training to guide me in His good ways. There's confidence to strengthen my doubting mind against all the lies around me. Objective doubts, is the Word of God true? Subjective doubts, am I really saved? Devotion. Structuring your life around daily walking and talking with God in the light of His Word. And I know that can be done in a couple ways. Matthew Henry says, by focused attention, taking time with yourself and with your family to meditate on the Word, spend time with the Bible. And then, so focused attention, and then there's constant application, that as you're hammering nails and as you're cleaning the stalls and doing the dishes and taking care of the residents in the nursing home, you're thinking about pleasing the Lord. You're thinking about doing what delights Him. You're wondering what His will is for you. That's constant application. So focused attention by set times of being in the Word, and then constant application, constantly thinking about the Lord in your life. There should be no God-free moments in a day. Devoted. Now, you've got to be careful, brothers and sisters. A legalism can fall upon us when it comes to delighting in the Word and doing our daily devotions. Because your devotions can't save you. Your devotions, you'll never do them good enough to be saved. It's Jesus' devotion to you that will save you. Keep that clear. Because some people think we get out of the way of devotions. God must hate me now. Maybe I won't be saved. It's Jesus' devotion to you that saves you. He gave His life for you on the cross. He set His face resolutely on Jerusalem, was devoted to doing the will of God for your sake, God the Father for your sake. And He, when He was told, come down from the cross and spare yourself all this agony, He stayed there. He was devoted to your salvation for the sake of God's glory. And now in heaven He's reigning, He's still devoted to you, guiding you by His Word and Spirit, interceding for you, reigning over you. He's devoted to you. That's what's going to save you. Rest in that. Don't rest in your devotions. But the way to rest in Him is to keep meeting Him in His Word. That will give you assurance, encouragement, correction, retraining you to walk in God's ways. This is how the Lord saved Timothy. Not that his devotion saved him, but through his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice regularly teaching him the Word. From childhood, he learned the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus. The devotion of Christ met Timothy through the pattern of devotions in the home. And he came to know Jesus Christ through faith. And he was saved. And he grew in that faith by staying in contact with his devoted Savior through the Scriptures all his life. Well, let's see thirdly, the reward. Blessed is the man who delights in the Word, who's devoted to being in the Word. His reward is great. So let's look now at the blessings. This is really the main point of the psalm. What are the blessings? He shall be like a tree Verse 3, planted by the rivers of water. In a moment, we'll look at the 8 blessings listed in the psalm. But let's first read that verse. Planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Blessed is the man who delights in the word of God, and lives so close to the word of God, and meditates on it day and night, like a tree planted right along the river. Blessed again means happy, full, satisfied, prosperous. Dane Ortlund describes the blessedness of living close to the Word of God. Nothing can compare with the blessedness, the fruitfulness, the flourishing, the prosperity, the delightfulness of a life saturated with the Word of God. Walk with God, soak in His Word, take His yoke upon you. You'll be blessed, truly happy, with the happiness that the winds of trial cannot blow away. Blessing. Let me list the 8 blessings. The man of God who lives on the Word and the Word lives in him. Number 1, steadfastness. Planted by the rivers of water. Planted, rooted in Christ. A great spot to be planted in Christ. United to him by faith. Firmly rooted in him, growing in him, steadfastness, the first blessing. Secondly, fruitfulness. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Fruitfulness. The fruit of the Spirit of Christ will dwell in you, grow in you more and more as you spend time with the Lord Jesus, that ultimate man of God, in the Word. Then you'll be conformed to his likeness. You'll grow in the beauty of holiness. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable for instruction and reproof and correction and training in righteousness. So that what? As you spend time with that God-breathed word, the man of God, the one of God, will be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Fruitfulness. Again, Matthew Henry, the more we converse with the Word of God, the better furnished we are for every good word and work. Fruitfulness. Thirdly, vitality and joy in your Christian living. Its leaf does not wither. You stay green. You don't grow cold toward the Lord. You don't lose your first love. But you're strengthened in the life of repentance and faith, vitality and joy. Your assurance of salvation and hope grow the more you spend time with the Lord Jesus and hear his promises and his comforts roll over and wash over your life. That's the third thing. And notice the fourth blessing. Whatever he does shall prosper. What does it mean to prosper? It means the Lord is with you in all you do. No matter where you are, where did Joseph prosper? In prison when he was persecuted. Because the Lord was with him. Prosper means you shine wherever you are. Even in grief, hope shines through. The kingdom of Christ advances through you because you're salt and light. He'll prosper you. That's the fourth blessing. The fifth, he will make you weighty and relevant and impactful in your family and culture. Notice the contrast. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like what? Chaff. What do you know about chaff? Well, it gets in the eyes for one thing, but it's light and it blows away. There's no weight to it at all. It's useless, it's worthless, it's weightless. Blessed is the man who's rooted in the Word of God. You're not weightless. You have a weighty life because God's grace, God's Word, God's Spirit, God's Christ dwells in you richly. How can you not be a weighty person? Next blessing, you stand. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. The godly shall. They'll stand firm in life and in death. And stand before the Lord and be pleasing to Him because they're in the Word. They're in Christ. And Christ is in them. And they're united to Him. They'll stand because of Christ. The next thing, the seventh one, the congregation. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The righteous stand in the congregation. They not only have fellowship with the Lord, but through the Word, they have fellowship with one another, and they grow in that fellowship. As you spend time in the Word, brothers and sisters, you will grow in your love for one another. You will grow in your delight in one another. You'll say, as for these are the excellence, ones in whom is all my delight, Psalm 16, he says of his brothers and sisters. And then there's the last one, my favorite. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The blessing of knowing that the Lord knows you. My favorite thing about being a Christian is not that I know the Lord, but I have a God who knows me and knows the way I take. That's what Job says in his darkness. I look behind me, I don't see him. I look ahead, I don't see him. I look to the west, I look to the east, and I don't see him. But he knows the way that I take. The shepherd of the sheep knows me. Well, brothers and sisters, the happiness of the man, the woman who delights in the Word of God is a happiness of flourishing, growing, of being conformed to the image of Christ. It's a happiness in God who knows you and loves you through Christ his Son and is building you up. The way of the wicked is a way of getting destroyed, being beat up, because that's what sin does to you. But the way of walking with God is the way of being built up, because our Savior's good and he builds us up. The most beautiful thing about Psalm 1 is that this man who's blessed finally is not you and it's not me, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. Meditates God's law in day and night. Delights in the law of the Lord. Fully committed to doing the will of the Lord. And when you trust in him, this man, Jesus, lives in you, and sets you free, and builds you up as a man and a woman of God who prospers. May God cause us to prosper as we live close to the rivers of water, the Word of God.